Now, a title appears. Back when we were grown-ups, Blythe Danner as Rebecca. A middle-aged blonde woman sets lawn chairs beside a station wagon in the driveway of the stately craftsman house. A plaque reads, The Open Arms.
Coffee!
She enters the house.
Come on, let's get going. Where are you?
She finds an elderly man in a robe.
Heaven's sakes. Poppy, get dressed. Seth will be here any minute.
Wow. What's all that for?
The picnic for Nono and Barry, their engagement. You have known about this for weeks.
Well, I can't remember every wingding here. You got going around here?
It isn't a wingding. It's for Nono.
Elsewhere, a brunette walks with a boy.
You're going to have lots of fun today, Peter. You know, my family throws parties for a living. My stepmother, your soon-to-be step-grandmother, well, nobody throws a party like that.
In our kitchen, Rebecca closes a picnic basket.
Open arms for all of... Oh, Zeb, where are you?
Sorry, I had an emergency. I'm going to be a little late. Want me to meet you at the park?
All right, I'll wrangle up Poppy. See you there.
Poppy enters fully dressed.
Oh. Come on. Help me get this stuff in the car.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy, this is heavy.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Too heavy?
Well, I can make it.
Oh, good.
This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Paula Broussard, Dutch Priest, and Stacey Perlman. Read by Kim I. Guest.
Oh, Poppy, careful. There's crystal in there.
Crystal? At a picnic?
Oh, what better occasion than for my nearest and dearest.
Poppy checks a basket and finds more dishes.
Well, how can you have a picnic without food?
Biddy's making the food, as always.
Now a woman takes hors d'oeuvres from an oven.
Snails and phyllo dough.
Can we ever have hamburgers and hot dogs like normal people? Which?
Sneakers. Beck says she wants to organize a family baseball game.
A dark-haired man and a teen trade a look. Now Rebecca searches a garage. As she pulls a box from a shelf, other items fall.
Oh!
In the station wagon, Poppy honks.
Hey! Come on, I'm starving!
All right, all right!
She carries a styrofoam cooler to the car. Poppy eyes it.
Is there any food in there?
It's for the champagne.
Oh.
I hope Patch remembered the bats and balls.
In another car, a wavy-haired brunette checks her watch.
So where is everybody? Beck did say everybody was supposed to be here by 3:30.
Well, I guess we'll go for a jog then.
Oh. Go ahead. Just run away. Just like every other family gathering.
A dark-haired man and a girl head off with baseball equipment. Now in Rebecca's car, Poppy opens a jar of pickles.
Poppy, those are from Min Fu.
Oh. Is she gonna eat the whole jar?
He eats one.
Well, when I was pregnant with Min Fu, I used to crave pills all the time.
He sips liquid from the jar.
Oh, Poppy!
Love it.
Now a goateed man walks with a pregnant brunette.
Hey, Min Fu.
So Hakeem? Where is my mother?
Oh, there she is.
Rebecca's skirt hangs from the station wagon's door.
Oh.
Then get your back.
I'm fine.
Rebecca parks, then waves to Min Fu.
Hi!
Hi!
Well, see? She doesn't want to be here either.
Still sitting in her car, the wavy-haired brunette, Patch, frowns. Rebecca approaches. She rolls down the window.
I don't know why we have to celebrate Nono's engagement to that corporate lawyer.
Because she's your sister. Oh, come on. Help me set up before Nono and Barry get here. And here they are. Hi, Barry.
She greets Nono and the boy.
Sweetheart. And you have got to be Peter. I'm Rebecca. Hey, you want to come with me and meet your new cousins?
No.
Oh, come on.
Later.
Okay, a toast, everybody, a toast. To all of us gathered together in this glorious spring weather.
Here she goes.
To Zeb for scoping out the site.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. To Biddy for cooking with all of her might. And Troy for helping her get it right. To Patch and Jeep for suggesting the bats and the balls, even though we never use them at all. To Hakeem and Min Fu. In August, they're due. But most of all, to Nono and Barry. Oh.
We are so delighted that they are going to marry.
She hugs Poppy, then heads to Peter.
Oh, and last but not least, a toast to Peter.
To Peter. To Peter.
Someone new in our family. Oh, what could be sweeter?
Yes. We're not in your family.
He storms off.
Oh, better go get him before he jumps in the river.
Peter, get back here right now.
As family members chase Peter, Rebecca stares off. Later, she talks on the phone with Zeb.
Did you ever have the feeling you turned into the wrong person?
Well, no.
I mean, look at me. After 20 years, still a widow planning other people's parties. Don't read no more, discuss important issues. Don't got no friends.
You've got friends. You've got the girls, you've got me.
Yeah, relatives, and everybody else I know is some kind of repairman.
Relatives can be friends. Repairman, am I so sure about?
Listen, I'm serious. What happened to the friends I knew in college or in high school? I mean, for instance, Amy Darrow, the girl who had her engagement party the day I met Joe right here. Oh, I didn't even get to her wedding. Of course, I was married myself by then, and all three girls had chicken pox, but still.
Okay, to be continued. I'm going to make rounds to the hospital tomorrow.
Okay. Night.
Night.
Sitting in bed, Rebecca continues stringing graduation party decorations with ribbon. Now our view moves down a train compartment corridor and stops at a cabin. In it, Rebecca watches a little boy as he stares out the window. Staring quizzically at the back of the boy's head, she smiles and folds her arms. Morning, in the kitchen with Poppy.
I had the oddest dream last night.
Were there any numbers in it?
What?
If you can recall any numbers, my friend Al, always after me for numbers to play the lottery with. He wants the numbers from my dreams, but I don't have any dreams anymore.
No, this was a dream about a boy. And he seemed to be my son. I was on a train, and I couldn't quite see his face, but it seems that he was very handsome and confident.
Do you recall what number train it was?
No. And I don't know where we were going either.
Well, I'd call that a dream that was lacking in plot. In fact, it's sort of uninteresting. So I'd like to switch the subject to my birthday.
Your birthday's not till December, Poppy.
Yeah, December 11th. I'm going to be 100 years old.
Well, I know that, Poppy.
I suppose you're planning some big wedding for me. I mean, bigger than usual, huh?
We'll see. Maybe.
Oh, yes. But it's still pretty far away. And when we get a little closer...
She answers the phone.
Open arms for all of life's occasions. Oh, yes. Hi, Melinda.
Here's a list. The guest list for my birthday party.
As Poppy heads upstairs, Min Fu enters with a cocoa-skinned little girl and a fair-skinned boy.
Poppy brings his own sound system. I'm sure you can play whatever anyone
would
like.
Mom, it's me!
Not to worry.
Hi, Poppy!
Hi, Min Fu!
Now Rebecca retrieves a box labeled graduation.
If you dreamed you had a son and not daughters, and the boy was blonde and not dark,
yeah,
and you might have been dreaming how your life could be if you had chosen a different fork in the road, if you decided on some different kind of life.
Rebecca pulls ribbon from a spool.
Or it probably means my baby's going to be a boy.
No, Min Fu, this is not about you. And besides, he didn't have your coloring. He was blonde.
I could have a blonde baby. Half my genes are yours, remember?
Well, yeah, maybe with Joey's father. But I seriously doubt that you could hope to have blonde jeans with Hakeem.
I know where this is going. Before we start talking about my choices and husbands, I have an obstetrician to see.
Oh, honey, come on. I wasn't implying anything about your various husbands.
Yeah, right. I gotta go.
She heads out.
Bye, guys.
Hi, Mom.
Later, the kids help Rebecca decorate.
Let's use these.
Oh, honey, this is a graduation party. Those are wedding bells.
Aw.
Hey, why don't we pretend they're school bells?
Yay!
Okay, let's just make sure they all work.
She plugs them in and they light up.
Ooh, pretty. Nice.
Yeah. Do you know that these were strung across the room? First time I ever came here.
Now, a 45 plays on a record player.
Please make up your mind, you've got to.
The young Rebecca stands alone in the middle of dancing couples. As one dancing guy grins at her, another approaches from behind.
I see you're having a wonderful time.
She turns.
Hi, I'm Joe Davish. That guy you're laughing at, that's my kid brother, Zeb. When you're with
me, I'm Rebecca Holmes. I'm Amy's roommate. Are you a friend of Artie's?
Oh, no. My family owns this place. Can I get you some champagne?
Oh, no. Thank you. I don't drink.
Well, we'll have to find you some ginger ale, then.
At the kitchen door, a woman drops a ham at Rebecca's feet.
Oh, I am so sorry. Come in the kitchen with me, Joe. Get the ham. Wish I would have known you were coming. Joe so seldom brings his dates home.
I'm not his...
Of course, you know Joe's children.
Children?
This is Nono and Patch and Biddy, and you've probably heard the story. Their mother, Tina, escapes to New York City and dumps the whole crew on me.
Mommy's gonna be a famous nightclub singer.
So some would have us believe.
Here, Mother. A little soap and water, no one will ever know.
Right.
Joe smiles at Rebecca.
Let's clean off those shoes, huh?
Mommy has this beautiful dress where the straps are made of diamonds.
Really?
Joe wipes splattered ham glaze from Rebecca's shoes, then gazes up at her. Meeting his eyes, she smiles.
There. Good as new. Come on.
Where are you taking her?
Don't worry, we'll see her again.
Okay, guys. Oh, sweetie, that's really a lot of raisins.
Out at the party.
We'll be seeing you, won't we?
Joe stares hopefully. Rebecca gives a bashful nod. Now in the present, Minfu's little girl faces Rebecca.
I'm gonna have love at first sight, too.
Oh, I hope you do, dear.
A banner reads, "Congratulations, Katie." Later, Rebecca enters with a plump brunette woman.
We finished just a few hours ago.
Wow.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Here's the problem. Katie didn't graduate.
She didn't graduate?
No. Yeah, I was laying out her clothes this morning, and suddenly Katie turned to me and she said, "Oh, did I mention I flunked chemistry?" At the time, I failed to understand that flunking chemistry would keep her from graduating. But it did, and...
Oh, well, listen, isn't it fortunate that you already planned this party? It sends such a message.
A message?
Yeah, a message that you love and you support your daughter in spite of her failure.
Ah! But my friends, how will I face them?
Oh, did you read that report a few years ago? Oh, my. It was a scientist actually discovered that if you fake a smile, that your smile muscles, they just somehow trigger the signal to your brain, and you start to feel the way you pretended to feel. Yeah, really. Happy.
The woman grins weakly.
Well, I suppose it is kind of difficult to cancel at this late date. But I thought maybe...
You're Katie, such a lucky girl.
Later.
Nice save, Beck. How do you manage to pull these things off?
Well, it's not like I ever had a choice.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, never mind. You know, maybe I should get myself a dog. I mean, if I had a dog to walk, it would be easier to meet people, right?
Maybe you should just get away from the open arms for a while. Go somewhere and visit someone.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Who would I visit?
Surely you can think of someone.
Now at an elegant home.
Mother, I have to leave first thing in the morning.
But you just got here.
Yeah, but I have a big anniversary party at the Open Arms.
Oh, that place, darling.
Her mother replaces Rebecca's chosen silverware.
That place is how I make my money. What little there is of it.
That's the Davitch's business.
No, actually, it's mine. And there's Poppy to think about.
That old man. Is she still alive?
Yes, he's still alive.
Exactly how are you related?
He's Joe's father's twin brother. You know that, Mother.
Darling, you could have done so much better.
Like how?
Oh, he was such a brilliant student, Rebecca. Do you remember that paper on Robert E. Lee? Didn't the professor say that you could expand it into an honors project?
He suggested that I...
And before you got started, bang, here comes Joe Davish and puts you to work.
Mother.
And poor Will Allenby. He didn't know what hit him.
One day you were as good as engaged, and the next you up and married a man that nobody knew from Adam.
I made a choice.
Well, it was the wrong choice. You and Will Allenby were soulmates.
Rebecca looks up at her mother.
You've been a different woman ever since you jilted Will.
Rebecca shifts her annoyed gaze. Now, in a flashback, the young Rebecca sits in a college library, opposite a young blonde man. As the two lean over their work, the man neatly lines up a row of pens and pencils next to his open book. Rebecca watches him, and he smiles across the table at her. Reaching over, he strokes her cheek and brushes back a strand of hair. She smiles fondly. Now, in the present, Rebecca arrives home.
Rebecca! Where were you?
Oh, you know where I was, Poppy. I was at my mother's.
Oh, is she still alive?
Is that Biddy?
In the kitchen.
Not like I wasn't going to tell you.
Why doesn't anybody answer this? Hello? Open arms for all of life's occasions.
You've always hated my cooking. That's not true. Besides,
tomorrow
we just want
That's
you to be
right.
able to enjoy the wedding.
All right, well, we'll be very
please.
Happy to see you
Biddy
then.
Storms out.
Yes, goodbye. What was that all about?
Oh, she's mad because I don't want her to do the food. Barry and I just want a more straightforward menu. And besides, Biddy's never done a garden wedding before.
Who's having a garden wedding?
We are. Here. Mother suggested it. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, Tina suggested it.
She eyes the overgrown yard.
Is Tina doing the landscaping?
Of course not. Mother doesn't arrive until 2 days before the wedding.
Uh-huh, I see.
We can do it, Beck. I am a florist, after all.
Now, in overalls, Rebecca pulls up weeds in the garden. She gets to her feet and dumps a paving stone into a wheelbarrow on her way to the front walk. A flamboyant woman in a white hat and pantsuit arrives.
Mother's here!
As her daughters carry her luggage, Tina strides up the walk and extends her arms dramatically to Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Mother brought us gifts from London.
Oh, nice.
Rebecca smirks and follows the group inside. Now they open presents. Patch opens a box of red lacquer chopsticks.
Oh, Mother, I love them.
For your chignon.
Nono holds a teapot.
Thank you so much.
It's about 1812. Oh. All that tea with this instant family.
Mother, this is perfect.
Oh. Do you like it? I found it in Capri.
Mother, I'd love it.
Rebecca stares.
Oh, she's not here, Mother.
Oh, I just...
Oh, Minerva, I've always thought of you as my fourth daughter, haven't I? Rebecca, you haven't opened your present yet.
Rebecca opens a box and pulls out an apron.
Oh, an apron.
I thought something useful.
Thank you.
Now, Barry, tell me all about the wedding plan.
Well, we finally found a minister.
Uh-huh.
Nono and I were at a restaurant the other night, mm-hmm. wondering who we could get to marry us, and our waitress said, well, I can do that.
Rebecca imagines.
So, what'll it be? Do you, like, take this woman here to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Oh, you're joking.
Turns out she has some kind of certificate she sent away for through the mail.
Tell me this.
Perfectly legal, and she said she'd do it for free.
Oh, well, why not? It's all a big charade, anyhow. I mean, my singing teacher was devastated when I married Joe. I mean, my dear, you are throwing away a God-given talent. Marriage may be useful during those little childbearing years, but all that, my darling, aren't you amazing, gives way to blood pressure monitoring and hand-holding when the man retires and he can't think what to do with themselves, and the wives, meanwhile, start longing to get free from this institution invented by males for their own benefit. It's all a primitive tribal ritual meant to make us forget we're merely propagating the species.
The women shift their gazes awkwardly. Zeb leans to Rebecca.
She certainly knows the right thing to say to a bride and groom.
Now, in her bedroom, Rebecca dials a phone.
Oh, hello. Is this Alumni Records? This is Rebecca Holmes Davidge. I'm looking for an address of a classmate, Allenby. Will Allenby. Yeah. Oh, Dr. Allenby. He teaches there? Ah, okay. Oh, good.
She jots down a number.
All right, thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Rebecca folds the square of paper in half, then down to a smaller square. She places the folded square under the phone on a nightstand and heaves a sigh.
We'll return to the Hallmark Hall of Fame after these messages from Hallmark.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, has to come back towards you a little bit.
We in?
No.
Stop pulling.
Okay.
Hey, can somebody get the ornaments?
I'll get them.
You don't know where they are.
I do too. That is so crooked.
I'm not even close, am I?
No.
Oh, no.
Look, Charlie's ornament.
Oh, I love this one.
Need some help, Dad?
Nope, I'm okay.
Oh, I remember this.
How come I never got a ballerina ornament?
Because you never took ballet, silly.
Oh, look, from when we moved here.
Remember you thought Sam wouldn't find our new house?
Did he?
Of course he did. Oh, wait, here's from the Christmas we got Ginger.
First we got the ornament.
Then the presents barked.
Charlie?
So why is he my snowman again?
Because that was the year you made your first snowman. And you loved him so much, you wanted to bring him inside and keep him under your pillow.
And you did.
I did?
Yeah, you really did.
Those moments of childhood are so special and so fleeting. This Christmas, find the Hallmark keepsake ornaments that will capture your family's memories forever.
Remember this one? Anybody? A little help here!
Little Linda Choo Choo.
Hey, Warren.
Who died?
Nobody's dead, Warren.
Well, they sent you to check up on me. The report is I've been very bad.
I didn't have to come all this way to figure that out.
And the will's been written, so you can figure about that.
Nope. Just seemed like a nice day to stop by my favorite old uncle's place. Well, I've got something that's taking up a lot of space in my purse, and it seemed like a good time to unload it.
How'd you remember that?
It's 2 days after my dad's.
Your dad loved his birthday.
Yeah, what about you, Warren?
Birthdays are for kids.
You're a big kid, so open it anyway.
You know, after all these years, I never knew you had a sense of humor.
I got it from my uncle.
Lunchtime, Warren.
So why haven't you said happy birthday to me?
It's your birthday?
All day.
Warren! Hey, everybody! It's Warren's birthday!
Now the Hallmark Hall of Fame continues with Back When We Were Grown-Ups.
Morning. At the open arms, Rebecca cracks eggs into a skillet. Wearing a velvet robe, Tina looks at photos on the refrigerator door.
I can't believe Uncle Poppy's still here. He was always such a bore. I mean, all the Davidges, a bunch of mopers. How ironic their profession was throwing parties. I mean, just because your house has 14-foot ceilings doesn't automatically turn you into a social butterfly. I don't know how you've managed all these years.
I just put one foot in front of the other.
You don't have any, shall we say, man friends, I suppose?
No.
Well, of course not. After babysitting Joe Davish, why would you want one?
Yes, why would I?
Tina glances around.
It's place is like a time machine. Same old sink, same sticky wooden cabinets, same scummy little drinking glasses.
As Rebecca sips from a mug, she shoots Tina a look. Tina shifts her gaze.
Same rusty screen door.
As Rebecca sets down a plate, Tina goes to the door. In the yard, a shirtless worker rolls out sod.
How American! Instant lawn! I knew we could create a garden here.
Tina leans out the open door toward the toned worker.
Very impressive!
Thanks a lot. Been working out every day.
Tina's jaw drops and she smiles. As she turns back into the kitchen, her smile fades. Rebecca is gone. Tina's expression sobers and she hugs her arms pensively. Now, a young girl plays piano in the open arms. A baby monitor sits atop the instrument and paper wedding bells hang from the ceiling. Outside in the garden, two more baby monitors sit atop a table full of wedding gifts. Seated wedding guests turn as Min Fu's daughter carries a basket of rose petals up an aisle toward a decorated arch. There, Barry stands with the minister, Peter, and the bridesmaids.
How cute.
The little girl tosses the petals, followed by her brother, who carries the ring. Hakim beams. The guests all stand as Nono walks down the aisle. As Barry looks proudly at Nono, Peter frowns and stares off. The guests take their seats, and Poppy stands grinning at the couple. Tina takes his arm and he sits.
Today we are gathered here to witness a celebration of the human family. The uniting of two people in marriage. Nono and Barry come before us here today to be united in marriage. Theirs is a love that springs from the affection of those...
Peter scans the guests. Rebecca winks and waves her finger. The boy gives a little nod.
Source, let us all turn and ask... Who gives this woman?
Barry and Nono turn, and Tina snaps to attention.
Oh, me.
Later at the reception, Tina toys with Barry's ties. She talks with him. Patch watches from the kitchen.
Our mother's actually flirting with her new son-in-law.
Nono's about to kill her. She was telling Barry they ought to take Peter on their honeymoon.
Every time. You girls can't wait for your mother to get here. Now you can't wait for her to leave.
Oh, I told Nono that Peter could stay here. Is that cake a little slanted?
What do you mean?
Well, look.
They gaze at the lopsided cake.
Well, what do you expect? First, Nono doesn't even want me to cater the wedding. Then she does. I mean, she's lucky there's a cake at all.
Oh, honey, it's a lovely cake. It just needs a little...
Peter mopes in.
Here.
She grabs a bowl of strawberries.
For you.
No, I can't.
Oh, yes, of course you can. Just be creative.
Now with a grinning photographer.
And we're smiling, and we're smiling. Yes, and we're smiling.
Poppy stands behind the couple.
Sir, you're in the shot. Can you, yeah, okay.
Oh.
Thank you.
You did a great job on those strawberries.
We're smiling, and we're smiling. Nice.
Whoa!
Okay, everyone, group photo. Yes, group photo.
As they gather, the photographer frowns.
Oh. Okay. Will the people who are not related by blood, can you move to the sides, please? I can't get you onto the picture.
That'd be awesome.
Rebecca, Peter, and several others separate from the group. Nono frowns.
Back, Peter, come on. Come on, back.
We're smiling. All right. And
quickly.
They return.
Okay. Smiles, and we're smiling, and we're smiling.
The photo shows Rebecca, Peter, Nono, Barry, and the rest of the family grinning at the camera. Nighttime. In her bedroom, Rebecca pats her cheeks nervously and stares down at the phone on her nightstand. She retrieves the folded paper with Will's number, then unfolds it and puts on reading glasses. She picks up the phone and dials.
Thank you.
Will.
Laura.
Who? Will, this is, Rebecca Holmes Davidge.
Rebecca.
Oh, gosh, I hope you weren't asleep.
No.
I know it's late. I didn't realize how late. You know, in fact, I think that I'll just call back another time. Bye-bye.
She hangs up and heads into the bathroom, flapping her hands.
Ay, ay, ay.
Morning.
Open arms for all of life's occasions. Yes, that's right. The tea dance starts at 4:30 tomorrow.
Poppy points at Peter.
Who's he?
It's Peter Sanborn, Poppy. He's staying here with us while Nono and Barry are on their honeymoon. Remember?
You remember Nono's wedding cake?
Yeah, I remember.
You know how it kind of tilted.
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel that cake's are Biddy's strong point, so I'd like you to find somebody else to make my birthday cake. I'll be 100 years old. December 11th.
Peter looks at his plate. Poppy stands with a plate of cake.
Kicking that to your room, huh?
Yeah, I think I will.
Hey, how about you and I go out for some ice cream, huh? Get some fresh air.
No, thanks.
How about a game? Clue, checkers, Monopoly, Scrabble, huh? We can't tell your dad you didn't do one thing the whole time you were here.
I don't care.
Well, I do. Come on.
Now they play Scrabble.
I wish I hadn't promised Poppy this party. He'll forget it before the balloons have shriveled. Maybe the instant it's over.
He could enjoy the party while it was happening, though. Even if he did forget it later.
Rebecca stares thoughtfully.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that.
Peter adds letters to form the word oxymoron.
Guess this is about all I can do.
What? Ho, ho, ho. 60 points. Hey, I suspect you might be a hustler.
Rebecca answers the phone.
Open arms for all of life's occasions. Rebecca speaking.
This is Will Allenby.
Will? How'd you get my number?
I looked at my caller ID. Anyway, Rebecca, what did you call me for?
Oh, gosh. I just happened to be home. I mean, at Mom's, and she and I just got talking about old times, and I thought to myself, gee, wonder what ever happened to Will Allenby. Wonder where he got to.
Oh. Well, I'm right here, where you left me. At McAdam, that is. Well, no, I haven't been here the whole time. I did go away for my doctorate. I teach here now.
Oh, that's wonderful, Will.
I'm the head of the physics department.
Well, that's really wonderful. Well, you know, it's been such a long time. Maybe you and I should just get together, you know, catch up. Or...
I happen to be free this evening.
Oh, this evening? No, I couldn't do that because I've got a tea dance and then, oh boy, this weekend I got a funeral and I got an engagement party, but, what about Monday? At that place, is it still there? The, what is it, the maple tree?
It's here. I don't know if it's still good. Well,
why don't we just say 7 o'clock the maple tree?
All right.
Okay, good. See you then.
She hangs up, shrugs her shoulders, and smiles at Peter.
That was my very first boyfriend. Well, my only boyfriend. Besides Joe Davidge.
In a flashback, the young Will picks up a stack of books and walks with Rebecca up the steps of a stately brick college building. Now, back in the present, Peter exits Min Fu's house reading a paperback book. As Peter heads towards Rebecca's car, Min Fu leans down to Rebecca's window.
Oh, good. That's right. Well, thanks for watching him, honey.
That's okay. He didn't play with the kids at all. He just sat reading a book the whole time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Minfu spots shopping bags in the back seat.
Why the sudden urge to go shopping?
Oh, nothing. I'm just sick of the same old clothes. Time for some new ones. Well, I better get back.
Minfu stares quizzically.
Bye, Peter.
Bye.
As the station wagon rounds a corner, Rebecca looks over at Peter, who keeps reading.
I decided not to tell Minfu about my date.
It's none of her business.
Besides, it's not really a date.
She glances at his book, The Time Machine.
I used to love to read when I was young. I was quite an intellectual, like you.
Peter glances up from his book. He thoughtfully closes it and faces Rebecca.
If you were offered a trip on a time machine, would you take it?
Oh, I sure would. I'd be crazy not to.
Would you go into the past or the future?
The future. Absolutely the future. Because I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Now in her bedroom, Rebecca wears a gathered violet-blue blouse. She eyes more outfits bearing price tags.
Oh, JJ!
Rebecca!
A man in coveralls carries a stepladder.
Oh, JJ, I'm so happy you're here. Boy, that ceiling really needs to be patched.
Well, we'll do that.
JJ's gaze shifts to Rebecca's blouse.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm having dinner with my old high school sweetheart on Monday, and I'm just as nervous as a cat. Oh.
You know, Tanya was my high school sweetheart.
Really? My gosh, you two really made a go of it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, not that you haven't had to work at it.
Ain't that the truth?
You just give it a little...
He zips up the back of her blouse, then eyes it with a shrug.
No good, huh?
Well, the color's nice. What about those harem pants you had on the time I was patching the bathroom?
No. I don't want to wear pants to a restaurant. And besides, they didn't make... They're good for my dairy hair.
But the color's nice.
Now in a salon, Rebecca's hair is teased into a poofy bouffant. Later, she showers, flattening the full hairdo. Nighttime, in the kitchen, she wears a blue jacket and skirt.
Poppy, your tapioca's in the fridge.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget your penguin program's on at night.
Okay, I won't forget.
Night-night.
Yeah. Have fun.
Okay.
As Rebecca leaves, still fastening an earring, Poppy scoops up his soup. She drives a windy road and arrives at the Maple Tree restaurant. As she fixes her hair in a glass partition, a hostess approaches.
Good evening.
Oh. I'm meeting someone here. I don't suppose he's...
Would that be him?
A man with thinning gray hair sits stiffly with his back to Rebecca.
No.
He turns slightly.
Oh.
Rebecca walks hesitantly toward the man's table, cocking her head. Will stands as she approaches.
Hello, Will. Hi.
She kisses his cheek. Oh.
What happened to your long golden braid?
My what? Oh, my gosh. I cut that off long ago. It was too much trouble.
May I tell Marvin what you're having to drink?
Who's Marvin?
Iced tea, please.
Oh, I'll just have... water, thank you.
Sparkling or still?
Pardon?
Tap, I think.
Right? Yes, tap.
Rebecca smiles across the table.
It is so good to see you, Will.
Me too. I mean, it's good for me to see you too. Except for the braid. You look just the same.
Oh, no. I haven't changed a bit. Ha ha.
So, decided what you're having?
Well, not quite.
Oh, I'm sorry. See what I should be having here. Oh, you should go first, Rebecca.
Oh.
She puts on reading glasses, upside down at first.
Yeah, well, salmon. You have salmon, I'm sure, don't you? I always like that.
She reads the menu.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Salmon, veal, rib roast, maybe the rib roast.
And how would you like that cooked?
Well done. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Well done it is.
Or, you know, how about the award winning swordfish?
Swordfish?
Unless, would it actually be the award winning swordfish if it didn't have the sauce? So, the swordfish, no sauce, and salad, no dressing. Thank you.
The waiter flashes a sickly smile, glances to Rebecca, and leaves.
Sorry. I don't eat out often. I cook for myself.
Oh.
I make my famous chili. You remember my chili.
Oh, your chili. Yes, right.
The way I prepare it is every Sunday, I mix up two batches and then divide them up into seven containers, and that's what I'd eat each night for the week.
For the whole week? Hmm? All week?
Yeah. Of course, now I have an extra container because of tonight. I don't know how I'll deal with that yet.
Oh, my. Well, it sure sounds like you've adjusted to living by yourself. I mean, since you're divorced.
I can't complain. I mean, I rent a very nice apartment. Mm-hmm. It's even got a little study that can be made into a guest room. And if my daughter ever wanted to spend the night over.
Oh, well, you have a daughter?
Yes, a 17-year-old high school senior, Beatrice. Of course, that's nothing compared to you.
Mm-mm. No, that's right. I'm way ahead of you. I've got 5 grandchildren. But that's because my husband's 3 girls are older from a previous marriage.
How did he pass away, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh. In a car wreck. Oh, boy, it was really sudden. Well, of course, a car wreck is always sudden. I was just so unprepared, you know. 26 years old. And his girls had just adjusted to the fact that I even existed.
Well, I'm not sure I'd know how to deal with that.
I managed all right. We were fine.
The waiter brings salads.
Thank you.
As Rebecca starts to eat, Will keeps his gaze fixed on her.
It seems so long ago, doesn't it?
Will gives a slight, brief nod.
You broke my heart, Rebecca.
Rebecca's eyes widen as she looks up at him.
I mean, no warning. I mean, I thought everything was fine, and then you just said goodbye without a reason why. I had to hear that you got married 2 weeks later from my mother.
Rebecca averts her gaze.
I'm sorry, you know, I know I didn't handle that very well. But,
Everything you're liking, folks?
Everything's fine, thank you.
Yeah.
I know that I should have written, but everything was just moving so fast, you know, and I just seemed to be getting farther and farther away from my original self. And then this summer I just sort of woke up, and I thought, who have you turned into?
She shrugs, then touches Will's hand.
And that's why I called you.
Rebecca sips water.
Oh, yeah. Figured you could just waltz right on back as if you'd never even left.
Oh, I never thought that.
Thought I'd say, oh, sure, Rebecca, I forgive you for everything. Let's go back to the good old days.
No, I never thought that at all.
I trusted you.
Rebecca's gaze drops uncomfortably.
I'm really sorry.
She quickly gathers her purse.
I can see this has been a mistake.
As Rebecca walks away from the table, still clutching her napkin, Will placidly watches her over his shoulder. Now, Rebecca enters her house. Poppy sits slumped in his armchair, his eyes closed. Rebecca fingers her keys absently. She shakes her head, then walks off. Now a hand reaches for the knocker on Rebecca's door. It's Hakim with Minfu's children.
The pains are 5 minutes apart.
He sets down the little girl and runs off.
Oh, honey! Just remind yourself that you are going to get a baby out of this!
Minfu waves from Hakim's van. Rebecca blows a kiss.
Hi, Mommy!
I bet that you are going to have a brand new brother or sister before lunchtime.
Now they eat in the kitchen.
Minfu is having a baby. I thought she was divorced.
Poppy, she divorced Professor Drake. And then she divorced Slavon. And then she married Hakim.
Hakim? Oh, good glory. An Arab?
Poppy?
Rebecca moves from the stove to the phone.
Open arms. Oh, hi. Yes, JJ.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid that faucet still is leaking. But listen, JJ, Minfu's having a baby today. Yeah, so I gotta... Oh, your daughter-in-law too? Cool, that's great. Well, and then you can understand why I gotta keep the line free. All right, bye-bye, thanks.
Oof. You said we have a new brother sister before lunchtime.
Is Mommy okay?
Oh, yes, of course she is. And, you know, sometimes... Just move your little drawings, kids, for me. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer.
Rebecca serves lunch.
Oh, you did a lovely job on those candles. Let's light them up.
She strikes a match.
Razzle-dazzle time. Woo!
If I could undo one modern invention, it would be the telephone.
I would choose the zipper.
Rebecca lights two candles, then answers the phone.
Open!
Rebecca, it's Will.
Oh, Will.
Will sits in his office.
I don't know why you rushed off like that. The waiter was wondering if anything was wrong, and I'm worried that you might have misunderstood me.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much for calling me. Listen, my daughter's about to have a baby, and I really can't talk. Thanks.
Okay, I...
Will stares. Rebecca rubs her hands.
Oh, boy.
She steps to the table.
Open our... Hakim? Yes? Yes, I think Abdul's a wonderful name for a boy.
Now in a hospital room, Rebecca holds a pudgy-cheeked baby with a full head of black hair. Propped up in bed, Minfu smiles. Hakim stands beside Rebecca.
Welcome to the world, Abdul. Say hi to Grandma.
Nighttime. On Rebecca's kitchen counter, the open arms answering machine's red bulb blinks. Rebecca enters, turning on a light as she shuts the door. She pushes the machine's play button as she takes off her coat.
Rebecca, it's Will Allenby again. I trust everything's fine with your daughter's baby. I just wanted to apologize for the other evening. Lately, it's been all I could do to just get up in the morning. I look in the mirror and think, gosh, same old me.
Daytime. As she picks up toys, Rebecca talks to her mother on the phone.
Lord in heaven, tell me everything.
Well, Will has been divorced about 2 years now.
Perfect. If a man is divorced, he's always angry at his ex-wife. But if he's widowed, he always feels guilty about remarrying.
Mother, who said anything about remarrying? We're just having a meal together.
Now in the foyer.
You should put us back here about 9:30 or 10. Is that enough time?
Oh, yeah, that's plenty of time. Thanks, Ed.
Oh, Beck, so is this an actual date you're having?
No, that's too old to be dating. Okay, Poppy.
She kisses Poppy's cheek.
Don't you get into any trouble.
Okay. Too old to be dating.
Zeb and Poppy leave, and Rebecca hurries upstairs. Now a pale finger hesitantly presses the doorbell. Inside, Rebecca runs downstairs, then glances at an open bathroom door. She dashes over and closes it, then runs back across the foyer. Her pace slows. She answers the door. Outside, green, ruffled leaves obscure Will's face.
Whoa! Oh, you shouldn't have.
I know I'm early. I allowed a little extra time in case I got lost.
Come on in.
He steps inside with a large, gangly potted plant.
My goodness. Let's see. Why don't we set it down right over here? Ooh! Here you go.
He puts the plant on a small table.
Ah! Hi, isn't that unusual?
Yeah.
And what's it called?
I don't know. They said it was impossible to kill us all.
Oh, good.
Oh, I guess I should have dressed up a little more.
Oh, no, I'm not so dressed up.
They enter the living room.
Oh, this is very... This is... Quite a place you've had.
Well, don't let it fool you. I expect the ceiling to fall down any minute now.
Well, I mean, it's really impressive. It must have quite a...
Yeah?
Quite a history to it. Mm-hmm. I believe your doorbell rang.
Rebecca eyes the door.
Oh, yes, right. Just make yourself at home.
She hands him a platter of fruit and cheese and then hurries to the foyer, running into the plant's bushy leaves. She turns it sideways, then answers the door.
Oh, hi, JJ.
I just wanted to let you know that we're going to be out in the back planting those...
Okay, fine.
What is that?
He indicates the plant.
Sure, exactly.
I've never seen anything like it.
Thanks, JJ.
Hey, you want to take a peek at them before we start planning?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
How about I fetch you one of those hang tags with a color photo?
I really don't care, JJ. I've got company.
Oh.
Smiling, he points at her.
High school sweetheart.
She cocks an eyebrow. Inside, Will stares at a portrait of a man wearing a cravat.
Was this your husband?
As she looks at Will, her smile fades.
No. We got that at a garage sale. Come on, I'll show you what my husband looked like.
In the kitchen, magnets hold dozens of family photos to the refrigerator. Rebecca takes the cheese plate from Will and sets it on the table.
Here. I'll just let the machine get that. Now, he's here somewhere, but... Oh, well, here's my newest grandson, Abdul.
Will puts on his glasses.
And here he is with his mother, Minfu, my daughter. This is my eldest stepdaughter, Biddy, standing next to Minfu's ex, Levon. And that's No-No. Oh, doesn't she make a beautiful bride? And let's see, this is Patch. She's celebrating the girls' lacrosse team winning state. And, there's Joe.
She points to a photo of her late husband holding a pair of crabs. As she stares at it, the photo comes to life, its white borders pushing closer to his grinning face.
Yes. Well, you always did want to have a lot of children.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
I try to remember that.
She grabs two food dishes.
Would you bring the biscuits in, please?
Sure.
He looks out a backyard window.
What's going on in your backyard?
Oh, they're putting in some azaleas.
Oh.
He picks up a basket of biscuits.
This is like running a plantation.
In the dining room...
The divorce was Laura's idea. One day, she just announced that she wanted me to move out. Of course, she kept our daughter. But Laura's always had a better understanding of Beatrice. It's only natural, I guess. She's so much younger than I. Not like you.
Excuse me?
I mean, you were always so mature for your age. So involved with your studies. So... serious.
Well, I always regret that I didn't finish my education. Do you remember this new theory that I had of why Robert E. Lee decided to cast his lot with the South?
Lee?
Maybe I should finish that research.
There are other things you can do, too. Museums can be particularly edifying.
Gosh, I can't remember the last time I was in a museum.
Perhaps we could go together. I'm going down to Washington on Friday. Maybe you could join me. Wonderful museums there.
I would love to do that, Will. Friday, then.
Good. Your phone sure does ring a lot.
Let me go in the other room.
Rebecca.
He takes her hand.
It's occurred to me that this was very providential.
Rebecca shifts her eyes quizzically.
What?
When you telephoned me the first time, I had just hit rock bottom. I mean, it's so incredibly providential that you called me when you did, Rebecca.
In the old days, ice cream places offered unlimited samples. I'd knock pistachio, rum raisin, any flavor.
Well, hi.
What are you doing here?
We stopped for ice cream, but Poppy was so displeased with the service, he said he'd just as soon have his dessert at home.
Hi, I'm Will Allenby.
Hi, I'm Zeb. Rebecca's brother-in-law. This is my uncle, Paul Davich. Sorry to barge in like this.
I thought you were going to the movies.
After that smart aleck in the ice cream parlor, I didn't have a heart for it. What's your dessert?
Well, I remembered that Will didn't care for sweets, so I didn't make a dessert.
Well, I'm going to take a look.
So, you knew our Rebecca in high school?
Our Rebecca?
She brings the dirty dishes into the kitchen.
Well, actually, kindergarten.
Beck, are you home?
Here. Where have you been? I've been phoning you all evening.
Will, this is my stepdaughter, No-No, and this is her stepson, Peter. This is Will Allenby, my old high school sweetheart.
Really? Nice to meet you. Go ahead, Peter, tell Rebecca what you wanted to ask her.
Well, honey.
At my school... they have this exhibit of these projects, and they have us invite our grandparents. It's on Friday.
Is it this Friday?
Uh-huh. And I know you're not really my grandma, but since my dad's parents are dead, I was wondering if...
I'd be honored to.
Ice cream! Who wants ice cream? Super chunky tango ice cream.
Later at the front door.
I'm so sorry about Friday, but, you know, I just couldn't disappoint him.
No, of course not. The museums will always be there.
Oh, you still have quite a drive, right?
Yes.
Will and Rebecca stare at each other. He puts his hands on her shoulders, then pulls her in for an awkward hug. She smiles. They affectionately pat each other's backs, then separate. Will steps outside.
I'll call you. I'll call you tomorrow.
He backs into wind chimes.
Yikes. Thanks for supper.
At the open arms.
Toast!
To Abdul Azim.
His arrival makes us beam. It's such a pleasure to have a new boy. Let's hope he's as nice as Letitia and Joey.
The kids run in.
He's allergic!
Well, how did a bee get in here?
It'll be okay. Just go to the hospital.
I'll get some ice.
He's allergic. I've got Abdul. Okay.
So. Dixon, you and Emmy take Letitia to the backyard.
Is it okay?
Wait, I'm coming.
Beck?
Oh, Poppy, please not now.
Beck, I don't feel so good.
Now with the paramedics.
Here's a list of all of his medicines. He's allergic to penicillin and tomatoes. Is this a heart attack?
I didn't have my 100th birthday party
You'll
yet.
You'll have your party, Poppy, I promise you.
Easy.
Call me.
Watch your step.
Rebecca follows Poppy into an ambulance. Later, at the hospital, she places her hand on his. She gently brushes his hair back.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
How are you doing?
Well, he's not feeling so...
Yeah, they're trying to finish me off.
Nope, they're letting you go. Turns out it was indigestion.
Oh.
Indigestion?
Oh, I spoke with the resident. He said you had 3 cupcakes at the baby welcoming.
Well, what if I did? I've eaten far more, many a time.
We should let them know at home. Poppy. They must be pretty worried.
Yeah, did Joey get his shot?
He's already back at the party, making up for lost time.
Oh, God, I'm so relieved that it is only indigestion.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the world is coming to if a man can't eat 3 measly cupcakes without folks calling an ambulance.
Now an ant crawls on a picnic blanket. Will brushes it away.
Oh, I forgot the dessert. You do like dessert now, don't you? It's here.
She curtsies, then almost falls.
Thank you. How's your father-in-law?
My father-in-law? Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean Poppy. Oh, he's not my father-in-law. He's Joe's uncle. Want this one?
And you still live with him, even though you're barely related.
Oh, I sort of inherited him. He came with the house. For a while, I resented having to take care of him, but when I thought he might die, I realized how much he means to me.
Don't mind my asking, but how come after your husband died, you never remarried?
I don't know. I think what you look for in a person changes. You know, when I was young, I wanted somebody other, the most wildly other person. But, well, that's why I was drawn to Joe, I guess. But now I just think the idea of being with somebody different is just be exhausting.
Well, look at you and me. We're totally different, Rebecca.
We are?
Will nods.
Oh, well, it might seem so now, but when I think of the old days, the things that interested us, I think, yeah, that was back when we were grown-ups. Of course, you still are a grown-up, but me, I feel like I've been traveling in reverse.
As they stare into each other's eyes, Rebecca smiles. Will takes her hand and places a napkin and silverware in her palm. Now a computer search page reads Baltimore County Public Library.
Robert E. Lee.
Why, things sure have changed since we were at McAdam, huh?
Go.
14 matches come up.
Oh, wow. This was such a good idea, Will.
Well, you said you want to continue on with your research.
He runs his finger over a title.
This might be interesting.
Uh-huh.
This one might be good. I'm in a special order.
Oh, dear.
No, no, it's all right.
Won't take long.
No problem.
Will writes on a slip of paper.
Okay, come on.
Great.
Now a librarian scans a book. She sets it aside and scans another title.
We'll call you when it comes in.
Great, thanks. Okay. Let me grab
it.
No.
Here
we go.
Oh, well, chivalry is not dead. Great. Thank you.
Later, as Rebecca reads in bed, she starts to doze off. She wakes up and continues reading.
Hello?
Hey, Beck.
Oh, hi, Zeb.
What you doing?
Well, I'm reading a fascinating book.
Me too. The harmful effects of nightlights on children.
Nightlights?
Children who've been raised with nightlights end up with vision problems. Their eyes don't get enough rest. They should read this book. That'd put them to sleep.
Well, from now on, I'm going to read 2 books a week. Serious ones. And I'm going to join a gym because I'm going to get into shape.
You're fine the way you are.
I am not. I'm a slug. You, of all people, a doctor. Now, from now on, I am concentrating on me.
You're right.
Good night.
Good night.
She hangs up, puts on her reading glasses, and picks up the thick, academic-looking book again. Now a name tag reads, "My grandson is," Rebecca writes in, "Peter Sanborn."
Hi, nice to meet you.
Adhering it to her jacket, she enters a school with Peter.
How's that? Good.
Oh, that's great.
In a gymnasium, table displays house various inventions. A banner reads, "Grandparents' Day." Peter and Rebecca enter.
Oh, where's your project?
It's over here.
As he leads her over, she gapes.
Yeah. This is yours?
Uh-huh.
Marbles feed through an elaborate contraption.
Oh, my gosh. This is wonderful.
A spinning disc drops the marbles into a funnel.
I don't know how you did this. What do your teachers say?
I think they kind of liked it.
Oh, I bet they do. Is there a motor?
That's a secret.
Oh, then don't tell me. Don't tell me. I will just view this as a miracle.
You want to see the other projects?
No, I just want to stay here and admire this one.
Peter grins. Later, outside the open arms, he eats a cookie on the front porch.
Oh, no. That boy is brilliant.
Yes, everybody keeps telling me how bright he is.
I wish he could drive. Honey, did you see his project? I don't know if it was music or art or science, but it is astounding.
I was the one who had to ferry him to the back of beyond for supplies. Barry was away attending a conference, wouldn't you know?
I know it's hard, but I so wish that you could enjoy this boy, because he is going to be grown and gone in a flash.
Easy for you to say. You don't have the slightest idea what it's like being saddled with somebody else's kid while you're still practically on your honeymoon.
In a flashback, the young Rebecca tries to fit Nono's arm into a jacket. Back in the present, Nono walks off. Now a building's archway reads, "Physics and Biology." Inside, Will uses a phone.
I thought maybe you'd like to meet my daughter.
She pricks her finger with a needle.
To meet your daughter. Oh. Something I can bring?
No, just yourself.
What should I wear?
Anything. Or maybe, no, just anything.
No, well, you can tell me. I mean, is there something special you want me to wear or not wear?
Well, I don't know. Maybe something not too hippie.
She checks her hips in a mirror.
Hippie?
Well, it's just that some of your clothes tend to be a bit exotic.
Oh!
And I want Beatrice to focus on you more as a person.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. This service is primarily intended for viewers who are blind or visually impaired. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Nighttime. Rebecca's station wagon pulls up in front of an apartment building. She climbs out wearing a skirt suit and high heels. As she steps into the building, she adjusts one of the shoes. In his apartment, Will answers the door.
Ta-da!
Oh, you look great.
Thank you.
Right. Come on, then. Come in.
Hi. Come in here. This is wonderful.
Here, have a seat.
All right. Thank you.
I keep feeling I should get a cleaning service in.
Oh, Beatrice isn't here yet, huh?
No, but I expect her.
Aw.
She pats his hand.
What?
Everything's going to be just fine.
You don't know Beatrice.
We are going to have such fun.
I'm serving this nutritious all-grain dish. She's a vegetarian. Oh, boy. Excuse me. I use chicken stock, but don't say a word.
Oh, my lips are sealed.
Will glances through a peephole and answers the door.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hello, Beatrice.
Will's 17-year-old daughter wears black boots, fishnet stockings, a leather jacket, a dog collar necklace, and a nose ring. Her auburn bangs hang in sloppy strands. She strides in.
So you told me to come here at 6. Here I am.
Well, thank you, Bea. I'm very glad you came.
Are we eating supper or not?
Well, don't you want to sit around a while and talk?
Talk? About what? And who is this lady, anyhow?
Oh, I'm a very old friend of your father's. We grew up together.
Oh, so I guess next you're going to tell me that you guys have fallen madly in love or something.
Beatrice.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess we've fallen in fond, but really I came here to meet you tonight. Your father's told me so much about you.
Yeah? Well, I'm not here because I want to be. I'm here because he promised me my own cell phone if I came.
Oh.
Rebecca reaches into her purse.
Okay, we've met. Can I go now?
You haven't eaten.
All right, if you insist, let's eat.
Rebecca dabs her face with a tissue. Later.
This is a complete, in one dish, whole grain meal.
Oh.
Entirely vegetarian.
Actually, I eat meat now.
You do?
Well, we can all stand to eat some grain from time to time. Beatrice, pass me your plate.
I'm afraid I'm not much of a chef.
Oh, I think you are wonderful to make the effort.
Rebecca doles out spoonfuls of the sticky lentil-like dish. Beatrice takes a bite and grimaces. Will offers Rebecca a roll. She shakes her head.
So, do many men have you to supper, Rebecca?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Because actually you seem pretty normal on the surface. I'm just wondering if you realize what kind of guy you're eating with here.
Oh, he's a pretty nice guy.
She raises her glass.
The guy who kidnapped our dog when Mom asked him for a divorce?
Will lowers his gaze.
Your dog?
Our little dog, Flopsy.
I did not kidnap Flopsy Doodle. I borrowed her.
He stole her while we were out. We came home and we called Flopsy. No Flopsy. So my mom phoned my dad. We knew it was him. And she said that she was calling the police. Do you know what he did? He lied. And he said, oh, he had no idea what she was talking about. Then he opened up his door and let Flopsy run out all by herself when everybody knows what a terrible sense of direction she has. It's lucky she wasn't killed.
I was feeling sad, okay? I was having a difficult time.
Rebecca nods.
Like it wasn't difficult for Mom and me.
I went looking for her in a rainstorm. I was out half the night. And when I found her all covered with mud, I put her in my brand new car and I brought her home. How many times can I apologize?
Well, just so you know, your boyfriend's a total perv.
Beatrice gets up and grabs her jacket and spiky book bag.
You're getting me a cell phone tomorrow.
She points at her father, then walks away. As she leaves, Will sits motionless at the table. Now, he walks Rebecca to the door.
Well, I guess this wasn't very successful.
Oh, well. You know what? Now that I've met your family, I want you to meet mine.
I mean, I already...
Well, three or four you bumped into, but I mean a proper dinner party with everybody there. Okay?
That'd be great.
Good.
Will pulls her into a tight hug and kisses her hard.
Oh, gracious.
She grins goofily.
Well, thank you. Thanks for dinner. Thanks very much.
If I'd known that Beatrice was back eating meat, I would have served my chili.
Rebecca nods, then salutes him.
Bye.
Bye.
Will smiles and closes his apartment door. Nighttime. In her bedroom, Rebecca knits and uses the phone.
He kidnapped their dog?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, in a way, I think he's still in mourning for his marriage. I mean, he's been going through a really difficult time. He's kind of an odd guy. I mean, I just thought a party where he could meet all of you would...
Rebecca, I've met Will on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I know, but I'd like him to meet everybody all together, you know? A more formal atmosphere.
Formal?
Well, just not some typical Davidge free-for-all potluck where Will could be overwhelmed, but something sedate and organized. You know, everybody arriving at a prearranged time, talking about civilized topics, you know.
Why can't we bring children?
It's a grown-up affair. I want you to meet the man of my life.
You have a man in your life?
Whoa!
You never told me that.
Oh, you know Will has been coming around now and then.
I thought he was just a friend. Why are you springing this on me now?
I am not springing anything on you. This is not about you.
Saturday night. You're never free on Saturdays. Is the open arms going under?
No more than usual.
Well, haven't I already met this person?
Yes, but I want this to be a more official introduction to the family as a whole.
Okay, look, whatever. I'm running late, okay?
Okay, bye.
Rebecca hangs up.
Open arms.
How come you invited Minfu to dinner and not me?
Patch, I was just gonna...
Is this because she's your real daughter?
I hate you. You're not my mother.
In a flashback, young Patch throws peas.
Patch, for heaven's sakes, I'm inviting all of you.
Later, Rebecca rushes downstairs in her charcoal skirt suit.
Oh, Beck, this is so exciting. A man in your life. I am making something fabulous. What is that you're wearing?
Oh, just something different than my usual hippy-dippy, color-crazy thing, you know.
I call it flight attendant casual.
Oh. Well, fasten your seatbelts, me merry crew.
As Rebecca heads to the front door, she fixes the collar on her jacket. Outside, Will faces the door's colorful autumn wreath.
Hi, Will.
Am I late or early or okay?
Oh, you're right on time. Come on. Yeah.
Thanks.
Inside, Will takes a sip from a glass of milk. Knitting his brow, he watches Biddy slice a cylindrical vegetable.
I trust you have nothing against hearts of palm.
Is that what that is?
I thought it'd be a nice, symbolic touch.
Will narrows his eyes.
Hearts. Romance, you know.
Palm trees are cut up for that?
Poppy bites into one.
Ugly plants are cut up. Asparagus shoots are cut up. Don't tell me you're one of those food avoiders.
No. I'm not that much into an experiment.
Sea urchins are an experiment. Hearts of palm is just a salad.
So you and Rebecca have known each other since you were kids?
50 years.
Oh, can I really have been alive that long?
And now you're reunited. That must be complicated, though, living in separate towns.
Oh, yes, exactly. My odometer's taken a huge leap, and my engine's developed a cough.
Well, you should give JJ a call.
JJ?
Yeah, JJ does a lot of odd jobs around here, but, oh, he's a gifted mechanic. He's the only one that can coax my Chevy along.
JJ's great.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's forever bragging about his wife, Tanya. Look,
she takes a photo off the fridge.
They had themselves made up to look like Bonnie and Clyde, and then they had their picture taken.
Will studies the photo.
Sketch.
That's your mechanic.
Lately, though, Tanya's had to increase her medication. Oh, poor thing. Yeah, she's just given to these sort of demented delusions. And one day she was walking across somebody's front porch. She was wildly flinging a souvenir Japanese sword. Ay, ay, ay. And JJ said that's not the real true Tanya. Yeah, he just still thinks that his wife is, amazing.
Will shifts his eyes.
That's the man that repairs your cars.
Oh, hello, we're here.
I told you she's not going
to... Hi.
I know you said adults only, but I'm still breastfeeding. What do you expect?
Hakeem follows Min Fu in with a baby carrier.
Don't put him there. Someone's going to step on him. This man is hopeless. At 7 in the morning, he's asking me to brew him coffee.
I only asked if coffee had been made, Min Fu.
You could have seen for yourself that it wasn't made.
What is that you're wearing?
It's us!
Hi!
Sorry we're late.
What is that you're wearing?
It is my brand new suit that I bought on Thursday, and I like it, so don't say a word.
Ah, everyone, I would like you to meet Will Allenby, the person I invited you here to meet.
The family faces Will. As he gives them a tight smile, the sisters swap looks. Now, in the dining room, everyone sits around the table. Beside Will, Min Fu nurses Abdul. Hakeem passes him a salad bowl, and the guest stares at the mother and child.
Min Fu, do that in the other room.
I'm decently covered. I'm not sitting here naked.
We have company. What must he think?
I'm sure you've seen a woman nursing a baby before.
Well... Yes, I mean, of course. Oh, not at a dinner table, but...
Min Fu leaves the table.
Poor boy.
Patch, go after her.
I will not.
Hakeem!
I shall go.
Hakeem leaves the room. At the head of the table, Poppy rises.
Toast!
Oh, yes, a toast.
Yeah. Toast.
Good.
I suppose toast to... Toast to me, my birthday.
Oh, Poppy, it is not your birthday.
Oh.
This is a toast to Will.
Hi, toast to Will. To welcome Will.
Yeah.
Here's to Will.
The family raise and touch glasses.
Thank you. Maybe a toast to... Rebecca?
Oh.
To Rebecca, for being so lovely, so gracious, and cheering up my life.
Rebecca.
Can't imagine where we'd all be if Rebecca hadn't shown up. She turned out to be awfully good for business.
Not at first. I'm sure that Zeb remembers the first time I helped out at a party.
Will gives her a somber look.
I let fly a champagne cork straight into a woman's bosom.
Biddy and Poppy grin.
Right. Rebecca crumples to the floor in mortification like she's the one who got hit, and this woman just keeps right on talking, completely unaware.
Falsies was my considered opinion.
Zeb lifts his champagne glass.
And she bends down and she says, "Are you all right, dear?" And I just pop right up and I pour in the champagne.
Will sighs. Spotting his somber face, Rebecca lowers her gaze. She looks to Zeb, who winks. Will glares at Zeb.
Oh, Abdul boy, the pipes are calling.
In the living room, Hakeem cradles his son in a rocking chair. The extended family share smiles.
Sweet.
I didn't know he was Irish.
Sleep, she brought the baby here.
Rebecca gazes warmly at her gathered guests and shares a nod with Zeb. Will catches the exchange and looks down.
Boy, oh, Abdul boy, I love you so.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Nice to see you.
We love that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again. Thanks,
bye.
Thank
you,
Rebecca.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Rebecca's family heads out.
Yeah, frankly, I'm having a hard time sorting them all out. I mean, why is that one stepdaughter Chinese? And the fellow Troy, is he Biddy's husband?
No. First of all, Min Fu is my daughter, not my stepdaughter. I named her Minerva. But Joe took one look at her paintbrush hair and her sleepy eyes, no wider than slits, and...
Hey there, little Min Fu.
As for Troy, he's the brother of Biddy's fiancé, Roland, who died suddenly.
Troy is gay.
And then after Roland died, Biddy discovered she was pregnant with Dixon. So Troy moved back in and helped raise him. And he's been with him every step of the way.
So, Dixon was conceived before...
I'll get the family album.
Oh, but Papa, your milk's almost ready. And anyway, Will has already more or less seen the family album.
I'll get the family album.
Oh, boy. Now you're in for it. So, how'd you like my family?
Well, they're very interesting.
Yeah, well, you didn't see Minfu at her best. I'm afraid she's beginning an old pattern. Have a baby, ditch the husband.
They all are pretty outspoken.
It's kind of like those nature programs, you know, where the female does away with the male after he donates his sperm.
Pardon?
Now Will looks at the album.
So many parties.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, everywhere I look.
Wow.
On the refrigerator, in this album. Everybody's celebrating. I mean, we just drank a toast in there. And now you've brought me in here and you've got me looking at photos of toasts. Years of toasts.
Oh, well, they're photographs. I mean, you don't usually take pictures of people reading a book or playing chess.
Chess? We don't play chess.
Well, I mean, you do have an unusual amount of parties, you'll have to admit. Every time we try to get together, we have to work around your social events.
Social events?
Rebecca turns her head. In a flashback, young Will sits across from young Rebecca in the library. As he lines up his pens and pencils, she watches somberly. Will stares at a text, then glances up at her. He reaches across the table and tucks a loose curl behind her ear.
Well, I mean, I understand you're a social type, but consorting with your mechanic? Sharing marital secrets with a stranger?
JJ's not a stranger.
Well, from what you told me, his attitude about his wife shows a total lack of responsibility.
Piffle!
Oh, here's my Joycey. She was a cutie, all right. Ooh.
Yeah.
He points to a short-haired woman.
I better haul myself off to bed.
Rebecca taps her mug.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm done. I'm going to go to bed, too.
Oh. All right.
Will closes the family album. As Poppy heads to the stairs, he turns back.
Oh. Don't forget my birthday party.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it.
All right.
When is this birthday?
It's in December.
What date in December?
I don't think we'll be seeing each other in December, Will.
What do you mean?
Or before that, either.
He studies her face.
Was it something that I did?
You didn't do anything, Will.
Was it your family? Didn't they like me?
I'm sure they like you.
Will knits his brow.
Zeb? Well, obviously, he's my competition, although I...
No, the fact of the matter is this, it just won't work, Will. It won't.
Pressing her lips tight, Rebecca looks into his eyes.
I'm sorry to do this to you. Again.
In a flashback, young Will and Rebecca sit in the library. Rebecca cocks her head and spots Joe at the window. Grinning, he waves to her and motions for her to come outside. Rebecca's face lights up. As she looks back at Will, her grin fades. The serious student keeps his head in a book. With tears in her eyes, Rebecca gets up.
Goodbye, Will.
Will knits his brow and watches her leave. Back in the present, Rebecca gazes at Will.
Goodbye, Will.
As she hugs him, Will keeps his hands by his side. Dropping his gaze, he licks his lips and takes a deep breath.
Well, all right then. Goodbye, Rebecca.
Will lowers his eyes. Slouching his shoulders, he heads to the front door and opens it. He briefly looks back at Rebecca, then leaves. Rebecca glances around the large foyer. She slowly walks out. Now at the library.
Practically as old as Robert E. Lee himself.
Sorry it took so long to come in.
Oh. It's all right. Thank you.
Rebecca picks up an old book and sits at a table.
Oh, really? Really? My life is finished. It finished when the girls got grown. So here I am, just, you know, hanging around, marking time, waiting for things to wind down.
In her bedroom.
Rebecca, are you all right?
Oh, yeah, it's a fine all right.
Zeb holds a cordless phone.
Where's Will in all this?
Gone.
You ditched him.
Yep, but that's not the problem. The problem is just I've outlived myself.
Well, remember what George Eliot said.
What did George Eliot say?
It's never too late to do what you want to do.
Well, you know, that's just... that is just plain wrong. I mean, what if I wanted to... I don't know. What if I wanted to get pregnant? I mean, Zeb, that's just ridiculous.
She hangs up and puts the phone on a nightstand. Zeb looks at the cordless and dials.
Sorry.
I just remembered. It wasn't do what you want to do. It's be what you want to be, I think.
I guess I'm just so tired.
I'm not even sure it's George Eliot.
Thanks for trying, Zeb. Night.
Night.
She hangs up, then looks toward the bathroom. Rebecca's lips part and she blinks. Looking in the mirror, Joe stands at the bathroom sink.
There you are, Joe.
Rebecca smiles.
Ready for another glorious day, helping other people celebrate life.
In the reflection, his eyes shift to her. Tears form in Rebecca's eyes. Joe turns around with a half smile. As she gazes back, Joe's image disappears. Rebecca switches off a lamp, rubs her teary eyes, and settles in bed. Daytime. Wearing a hat and scarf, Rebecca carries Will's wilted potted plant outside. She looks at it, then dumps it into a trash can. Grimacing, she rubs the arms of her sweater. White reindeer decorate the snow-covered front lawn and snowflakes hang near the dusted roof. Inside, wreaths and Christmas accents fill the living room. A hanging sign reads, "Happy 100th Poopy." In the kitchen, Poppy sits at the table. Rebecca carries a plate with a lit candle and a waffle.
Happy birthday, Poppy.
Oh, thank you, Beck.
He blows it out.
Ooh, I got it.
Do you know that 100 years ago today, you were just the tiniest bundle nestled in your cradle? I don't even know who was president then.
It beats me.
No cars, probably no phones.
Mm. She pours coffee.
I wonder from time to time if the years Joycey didn't get to use in her life got added onto mine.
Oh, she would have been glad to see you enjoying it.
Joyce was a naturally happy person, not like us daddies. Some people just have a harder time being happy.
Yeah, boy, the night that I met Joe, he was laughing. And then when I saw him a few days later through the library window, life in his eyes, and I knew right at that moment that I wanted to marry him.
She swallows.
You know, I think you might be right, though, about the Daviches, because deep down, I'm not sure he was really happy. He never thought of party giving as his true life.
Face it, Beck. There is no true life. Your true life is the one you end up with, whatever it may be. You just do the best with what you got.
Poppy takes a bite. With a hand resting against her cheek, Rebecca raises her brow and gazes at him.
This isn't my party, is it?
Oh, no. No, Poppy. Your party is going to be everything you dreamed it would be.
Now, Rebecca enters the living room carrying a tray. Guests fill the room.
Oh, Mother, come on. I want you to meet Tanya.
Oh, no.
JJJ.
How do you do?
And JJ Barrow.
How do you do?
JJ's our handyman. Are you here as guests?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Hey, Poppy, how you doing?
Rebecca. The children race by Rebecca.
Happy birthday, Poppy.
Birthday, Poppy.
Whoa. For me?
He opens a gift box.
Oh,
Whoa, how about that?
He lifts the frame.
President Theodore Roosevelt.
He was president the year you were born.
That's beautiful, look. President Theodore Roosevelt, he was a great president.
Are you really 100?
Yes, but don't tell anybody, huh?
In the kitchen.
Pick up dry cleaning. Make a dental appointment for Peter. Find someone to clean the gutters. Buy my bro a birthday gift. These are the things I was supposed to do last week.
So?
Beck, when you and Dad got married, did you... And don't take this the wrong way. But did you ever wonder if he'd married you just so that he would have help with us kids? I mean, I am trying not to think that of Barry, but I mean, these lists.
Oh, what are you saying? You don't think that Barry loves you?
He says he does, but I mean, the PTA meetings, the carpool, it's like I'm so useful.
Well, don't you think that all of us, I mean, love people, you know, partly because of their usefulness?
Beck, love has nothing to do with it.
Min Fu enters.
No use. Hakim is hopeless.
Her mother and sisters stare skeptically.
Thanks. I can always rely on my family for emotional support.
Oh, Min Fu. Please, could you please just once try to resist dumping a husband once you've had his baby?
Who gave you the name of Patch's marriage counselor?
Patch? You're going to a marriage counselor.
Thanks a lot, Biddy.
Patch, Nono, and Min Fu leave.
Why does everybody in this family seem so unhappy? Thank goodness for you and Troy.
Troy is gay, but we still argue just like every other couple, okay?
Biddy walks out.
How reassuring to hear that.
In the living room, guests gather around a TV.
Hey, everybody. Hakim took all of Poppy's homemade movies and turned them into a tape.
They only go up to 1971, but...
Celebrating Paul Davichow.
On screen, young Paul cooks on a grill.
Ah, your famous hamburgers, Poppy.
I was always good with my barbecue. There's my Joycey.
Poppy claps.
She looks great.
She's my girl.
She looks happy.
Old footage shows the open arms sign.
Oh, I love that dog. That was Molly.
Words appear. Christmas 1958.
Oh, there's Uncle Zeb.
Yeah. I gave him that train.
A young boy opens a present.
There's Joe.
A dark-haired teenager kneels by young Zeb. Joe picks Zeb up and lifts him high.
Oh, that's a sweet shot.
In the living room, JJ approaches Rebecca's mother.
Look at that.
On screen, teenage Jeb swings his arms.
Could have been arrested.
Our Easter egg hunt.
A little girl collects eggs.
Oh, there's me.
I remember that dress.
Well, we all wore it.
Would you look at us?
The three sisters sit in an inflatable pool. As Joe watches them, one of the girls aims a hose at another.
Weren't we the perfect family?
Rebecca watches somberly.
Where are you, Mommy?
I wasn't born yet.
And here you are, Min Fu.
Oh, there I am.
On screen, Joe cradles her.
Yahoo, Min Fu.
Dad didn't have a chance. Poor girl.
Rebecca's eyes shift. A title on screen reads, The End.
Wow.
That's good. That was beautiful, yeah.
Good job, Hucky.
Grinning, Min Fu kisses her husband.
All right, cake is in the dining room.
Rebecca drops her gaze.
Yeah, more champagne.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow.
Poppy stands before a cake with dozens of burning candles. Zeb turns to Rebecca.
What's wrong?
Oh, it's the video. As if I never existed.
As if what?
The children help Poppy blow out the candles.
Back.
They clink glasses.
Poppy.
She nods.
To Poppy. He's beginning to seem perennial. We're observing his centennial. So shout it from the chandeliers. We wish him another 100 years.
Everyone lifts their glasses.
Happy birthday.
Another one of those everlasting rhymes of hers.
Rebecca looks at Patch.
I could eat all of this myself.
Rebecca takes Abdul from Min Fu and walks away from the crowd. Her eyes welling with tears, she steps out onto the front porch. With the baby cradled in a blanket, Rebecca paces and wipes away tears. The distraught woman looks around, then gazes at Abdul.
Oh, look at you.
She rocks him gently.
I know what you're thinking. What kind of people have I ended up with? How am I ever going to live on this planet?
Rebecca pats the baby's back, then wipes her own nose.
Ow! Come over here. Look, look, look.
She taps a crystal ornament. As Abdul smiles, Zeb walks outside with a jacket. He approaches Rebecca and places it over her shoulders.
Miserable day.
Yeah.
Beck, you know, that was just patch being patched.
Oh, listen, why do I care? Before that, no-no asked me if Joe had married me for my usefulness. No, believe me. Over the years, it crossed my mind, too, you know. Especially after he just up and died, leaving me to cope with all this.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
She waves him away.
You know, when I first met him right here, he said, oh, you look like you're having a wonderful time. Well, you know, I wasn't having a wonderful time. I should have just said that to him right then.
I was here too, you know. And I remember you walking into the open arms that day, and you were having a wonderful time. And my brother saw in you this gift of joy.
Joy?
Yeah, joy. I'm sure you know that's something the Davidge gene pool sorely lacks. Believe me. You give all of us such joy.
Oh, well, it's not enough.
It's more than enough. How can we survive without it?
You'd survive.
Not a chance.
I don't know.
I know. I know you hold all of us together. With your love, with your parties, with your funny Rebecca toasts.
With a half smile, she raises her brow.
We need you, Rebecca.
As Zeb gazes at her, Rebecca's smile widens. She looks down. Abdul rubs his mouth against her chest.
Abdul's hungry, I think. Well, it wouldn't be a family celebration if Minfu wasn't breastfeeding.
Well, I guess we should go farther.
White lights decorate the windows and hedges of the open arms. Inside, Poppy watches the video.
You're so young.
Yeah.
He's hungry, honey.
Minfu takes Abdul.
Beck, where you been?
Patch grins at her.
Champagne?
Yes, thanks.
As she heads into the living room, Minfu returns.
Mom, I've run out of diapers.
Oh, honey, I think there's an extra package underneath the sink.
Rebecca scratches her shoulder, then takes a seat on the couch. Peter sits at the other end, watching the video. On screen, teenage Joe picks young Zep up in his arms. Peter knits his brow.
Why aren't you in the video?
Well, I guess I was busy planning some happening or other.
Rebecca focuses on Peter. She visualizes standing on the train behind the young boy and cocks her head.
Peter?
The boy faces her with a large grin. It's Peter. In the living room, Rebecca moves closer to him.
Do you know I had a dream about us?
Really? What did you dream about?
Well, it was a beautiful sunny day. And you and I were on a train.
Where were we going?
Well, we were traveling to.
She shifts her eyes.
To right here, I guess. We were coming home.
Peter, can you come here for a second?
Peter gets up and joins Nono. As they walk away, Rebecca looks at the TV. On screen, a banner reads, "Congratulations, Amy and Artie." Wearing a plaid shirt, teenage Zeb swings his arms and shakes his hips. As he sways wildly, Rebecca watches and smiles. In the video, couples dance and converse with each other. Joe turns from one group and approaches the camera with a wide smile. As he draws closer, his grainy image sharpens and grows brighter. Tears roll down Rebecca's cheeks.
I see you're having a wonderful time.
She presses her lips together.
Yes, Jill. I really am.
She nods. On screen, Joe smiles.
Poppy, what are What did you wish for when you blew out the candles?
For an even bigger party next year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Rebecca stands beside Poppy and taps his glass. The family raise their champagne glasses and toast one another. Rebecca gazes at Zeb. In slow motion, they clink their glasses. A grin grows wider on her face. The image freezes into a snapshot and rotates, exposing a thin white border fade to black.
We hope you've enjoyed tonight's Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation. Join us again on Sunday, December 19th, for Fallen Angel, starring Gary Sinise and Jolie Richardson. Sunday, December 19th on CBS. You can get Back When We Were Grown-Ups and other favorite Hallmark Hall of Fame movies on DVD and video. Exclusively at your Hallmark Gold Crown store. For more information, visit us at Hallmark.